Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. And inshallah azza wa jal, today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the faith refreshing parables. Yes, Iman Afroz Waqiat. And inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to learn a lot from our today's episode. And it is regarding a beautiful hadith which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Before that, let's first and foremost recite salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, Sayyidina Suhaib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, before you there was a nation who was ruled by a king. This king also had a magician. When this magician grew old, he advised the king, I have become old, therefore send a young man to me so that I may teach him magic. Thereafter the king sent a young man to him, and this magician began to teach this young man. On the way to the institute, the young man also used to pass by a priest who lived next to the road. The young man liked the conversation of this priest. He used to spend time with this priest and listen to his words. However, when he arrived late at the magician's institute, the magician used to punish him. The young man then complained to the priest, and he advised the young man that if he became afraid of the magician, he would tell him that his family had delayed and stopped him. And when his family asked him the same question as to why he was late, then he should tell them that the magician had delayed him. This continued for a while. One day, the young man saw a large and dangerous animal on the road who had blocked the road. He thought to himself that today is the perfect day to find out whether the priest is better or whether the magician is better. He then supplicated, O Allah, if the affairs of the priest are better with you than the affairs of the magician, then please destroy this animal so that people may walk on this road. He then threw a stone at this animal and it died. Thereafter, people began to use this road. He arrived at the house of the priest and told him what had happened. The priest replied, my son, today you have become greater than me. Your status has reached that point which I can see, and very soon you will be tested. And when you are tested, you must not reveal anything about me. The young man reached the stage where, with the divine permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began to heal the blind and those suffering from leprosy and different diseases, and healed other people of various other illnesses. There was also a person who was close to the king and he was blind. When he heard about this young man, he also came to him for help and declared, if you can cure me, I will give you everything. The young man replied, I do not give people a cure. Cure is in the divine power of Allah. If you believe in him, then I will make dua. I will supplicate that he heals you. This person then brought faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was then cured through the divine bestowal and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he returned to the king asked him, who had returned his eyesight? He replied, my lord has done so. The king then proudly asked him, besides me, do you also have another lord beside me? Then the person replied, my lord and your lord is Allah Azza wa Jal. The king then imprisoned him and continued to punish him until he revealed the name of the young man. When the young man was brought forward, the king asked, O young man, has your magic reached such a stage that you are able to cure the blind and the leper, and now you have become truly qualified? The young man again replied, I do not give anyone cure, but it is Allah Azza wa Jal who makes people better. The king then imprisoned him and continued to punish him until he revealed the identity of the priest. When the priest was brought forward, he was advised to divorce his religion, but he refused to do so. He never forsake his religion. The king then placed a saw on top of his head and severed it in two halves. He then advised his one-time friend to divorce this new religion, and he also refused. A saw was then placed on his head and it was cut into two halves. The young man was then brought forward and instructed to leave his new religion, and he also refused. And he was handed to a few people. And they were told that if he refused to reject his new religion, they were to throw him from a mountain. So when they arrived on top of the mountain, the young man made dua, O Allah, as you wish, let me be sufficient for them. The mountain then began to shake and these people fell to their deaths. He then returned to the king and the king asked him, what had happened to those who had accompanied him? The boy replied, Allah Azza wa Jal has saved me from them. The king then instructed again a few more people to take him to a boat, and in the middle of the ocean, they must drown him if he does not refuse to turn away from his new religion. Now, they were to throw him out in the water. When they took him there, he again made dua, O Allah, as you will, please protect me from them. Suddenly, the boat capsized and all those people drowned. He again returned to the king, and when the king asked about the people who had accompanied him, he replied, Allah Azza wa Jal protected me from them. He also advised the king that he would never be able to kill him until he does what he is told. The king asked him. He replied, gather everyone and place me on a stage of wood, on a wooden stage. Then take out an arrow from my quiver. And saying these words, release the arrow at me. In the name of Allah, who is the Lord of this young man. This is what you must say, and then shoot the arrow. When you do this, you'll be able to successfully kill me. Now, when the young man was killed, people suddenly began to accept this new religion in droves. What the king feared was actually happening right in front of his eyes. In a fit of anger, he then instructed a large trench of fire to be built, and all those who had accepted this new religion, they should be thrown in it. People happily threw themselves into this trench of fire. Ashabul Ukhdud, yes. Finally, a lady approached this fire with a small baby and hesitated for a little. However, the little baby declared, oh my mother, have patience. You are on truth. Allahu Akbar. This beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Muslim Sharif, and it has a great lesson on faith. Never ever give up your faith. This is the faith refreshing parable, and we should all adhere to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about it in the glorious Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the details of it in the hadith. Now, they are awliya of Allah who really have kept their faith intact and who never compromise on their iman. And this is a lesson learned from the lives of many awliya, be it the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ahli Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Tabi'een, Tabi Tabi'een, Aimma, Mujtahideen, Aimmatul Hadith, Mufassireen, the Fuqaha, the Awliya Ikram, the four schools of the Awliya, the four Salasil, Silsila Qadriya, Radawiya, Chishtiya, Suhrwardiya, Silsila Naqshbandiya, Allahu Akbar. These Buzurganuddin, the founders, Shaykh Shahabuddin, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Sayyidina Khaja Muhyiddin Chishti, Hasan Sanjari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Sayyidina Shaykh Naqshband, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Now all these awliya ikram, and those awliya that were in those chains, and those awliya that existed before them, those awliya that existed after them, even in our time. Yes, the awliya are able to assist people through the divine permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson we take away from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the key lessons. And they teach us a lesson on how to preserve our faith and our iman, and not to ever compromise. No matter how powerful the opponent, one should never be afraid to speak the truth. Yes. Look at the life of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He always spoke the truth. Never ever, be it the king of his time, the ruler at his time, the governor, the khalifa, whoever they may be, he always spoke the truth without ever fearing for the consequences. Even when it came to his own life, he would still speak the truth. This was the life conduct of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala from his very childhood, right up until, subhanallah, there came a time when he became the leader of the truthful ones, subhanallah. Yes, the leader of awliya, Sultanul Awliya. He became a Qutb, then Sultanul Awliya. And it so happened in his very childhood, while he was traveling to Baghdad from his hometown of Jilan, and on his way, his caravan was looted by the bandits, a group of bandits who looted his caravan. And they were taking possession of all of their valuables. When they asked Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was a boy at that time, they asked him, "What do you have with you? Do you have anything on you?" He said, "Yes, I have. In fact, I have gold coins with me, dinars, ashrafis." So he said, "Okay." Then they took him to the leader. They said, "He's mocking us. He's saying that he has valuables on him, ashrafis on him." And then when he was told to show, really, so he wasn't joking, he was telling the truth. So now they asked, they were bewildered to know that, you know, he's just a child, everybody is afraid for their life, and he's openly saying that he has this valuable item with him. So they said, everybody, you know, they want to hide their valuables and their belongings, whatever they have. But when we asked you, you told us where it is. They wouldn't have found, actually, because it was sewn to his clothes. Now, Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said to them, "When I was leaving home, my mother said to me, always speak the truth, don't lie. And I have taken the advice of my mother. That's why I told you, I won't speak a lie. I'm speaking the truth." Allahu Akbar. When the leader of these bandits, he heard this, he broke down into tears. And he said, "All this time we have been violating the promises we have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here this child, he made a promise to his mother and he never broke it. And how many promises we have broken that we have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allah. And they made sincere tawbah. And all these bandits, the leader, when he made tawbah, the followers, the minions, they also said that, if you know you are our leader in sin, now when you have attained forgiveness and made tawbah. Now make us your followers, even in the tawbah. Subhanallah. And then they all made tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala. And all of them, they attained wilaya and sainthood. Subhanallah. So no matter how powerful the opponent, one should never be afraid to speak the truth. And in the case of this boy, he always spoke the truth. He said, no, it is not me. The cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. And no matter what happened, he never deviated from his faith. The pious people are those who are always striving to please their Lord, no matter how serious the trial is in front of them. Yes, this boy was facing the trial. He was taken to the mountain to be thrown from there. He was then taken to the sea to drown him in the water. But all these attempts, they failed. Yes. And he was still trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not deviating from the true path. Allahu Akbar. He never really was terrified of it. He handled his affairs in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He handed his affairs over in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Allah. Subhanallah, these are the awliya Allah. So no matter how serious the trial is in front of you, always observe patience and strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson that we learn from the lives of awliya, from the life of this boy. Even the mother who was afraid, the child said, no need to be afraid, Allahu Akbar. They never gave up on their faith. Now, these lessons, and there are many more lessons that inshallah azawajal we are going to learn from this beautiful faith refreshing parable. Inshallah azawajal, for now, we have a wonderful kalam. Let's go and listen to the kalam, and thereafter we'll be back and continue with our today's episode. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Allah نزعہ کے وقت مجھے جلوائے محبوب دکھا، تیرا کیا جائے گا میں شاد مروں گا یا رب، تیرا کیا جائے گا میں شاد مروں گا یا رب،
فرما میرے مولا،
ہائے معمولی سی گرمی بھی سہی جاتی نہیں، اللہ ہائے سہی جاتی نہیں، گرمی یہ حشر میں پھر کیسے سہوں گا یا رب، گرمی یہ حشر میں پھر کیسے سہوں گا یا رب،
فرما میرے مولا، رحم فرما میرے مولا،
آج بلتا ہوں معزز جو کھلے حشر میں، اللہ آج بلتا ہوں معزز جو کھلے حشر میں، آہ رسوائی کی آفت میں پھنسوں گا یا رب، آہ رسوائی کی آفت میں پھنسوں گا یا رب،
فرما میرے مولا، رحم فرما میرے مولا،
گر تو ناراض ہوا میری ہلاکت ہوگی، اللہ گر تو ناراض ہوا میری ہلاکت ہوگی، ہائے میں نار جہنم میں جلوں گا یا رب، ہائے میں نار جہنم میں جلوں گا یا رب،
رحم فرما میرے
عفو کر اور صدا کے لیے راضی ہو جا اللہ عفو کر اور صدا کے لیے راضی ہو جا گر کرم کر دے تو جنت میں رہوں گا یا رب گر کرم کر دے تو جنت میں رہوں گا یا رب
فرما میرے مولا رحم فرما میرے مولا
کاش ہر سال مدینے کی بہاریں دیکھوں اللہ کاش ہر سال مدینے کی بہارے دیکھوں سبز گنبد کا بھی دیدار کروں گا یا رب سبز گنبد کا بھی دیدار کروں
فرما میرے مولا
اذن سے تیرے سرے حشر کہیں کاش حضور اللہ اذن سے تیرے سرے حشر کہیں کاش حضور ساتھ عطار کو جنت میں رکھوں گا یا رب ساتھ عطار کو جنت میں رکھوں گا یا رب
رحم فرما میرے مولا رحم فرما میرے مولا رحم فرما میرے مولا
Dear Islam brothers, it is an immense favor of Allah Azza wa Jal that He made us among the Ummah of His beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam and blessed us with the treasure of Islam. There is no doubt in the fact that there is a great fortune that Alhamdulillah we are Muslims. However, alongside this, it is also a matter of great concern that none of us has a surety that whether we will stay Muslims until our last breath. The way many non-Muslims fortunately embrace Islam, Similarly, it is mazallah proven for many unfortunate Muslims to have left the folds of Islam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also stated the following, that the children of Adam have been created in different groups. Among them, some were born as believers, lived as believers, and passed away as believers. Some were born as non-Muslims, lived as non-Muslims, and also passed as non-believers. Some were born as believers, lived as believers, but passed away on disbelief. And some were born as non-Muslims, lived as non-Muslims, and passed away as believers. So dear Islam brothers, what is a true success? True success is that alhamdulillah, we born as the Muslims, we are a Muslims, so we live a life as a Muslim, and also when our last breath comes, when we die, when we passed away from this world, we also die as the Muslims. So what should we do to protect our faith? Continue to pay gratitude to Allah Almighty upon receiving the treasure of faith. Keep supplicating, keep making dua to remain steadfast upon faith throughout our life. Acquire Islamic knowledge, especially for the protection and the strengthen of our faith. In order to protect your faith, avoid loose and rough usage of tongue and utilize it for zikr and reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protect your faith from every possibility of disbelief. Save yourself from all the matters that can lead to the destruction of faith. To remain steadfast upon faith until your last breath, offer salah, fast, and abide by the Sharia steadfastly. Keep performing the actions that please Allah Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in order to attain steadfastness upon faith. For steadfastness upon faith, refrain from the acts that displease Allah Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times. So dear Islam brothers, we should be worried about our faith. We should learn the Islamic knowledge so we can act in this world the way the Muslims should act, and also we can save our faith. And when the last breath comes, we also should be supplicating on the court of Allah Almighty. He saves our iman. Sallu al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah, we were listening to this kalam and a beautiful nasiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen. Bijahi nabiyyil amin. Brothers, we listen to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this faith refreshing incident that happened, and how this boy, he persevered and he never gave up his faith. And subhanallah, all three of them, the priest, the boy, and the courtier, never gave up their faith, and they were loyal in their faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, look at the miraculous outcome of this boy's faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unshakable faith that he had, that despite him being thrown from a mountain, which they attempted, but they never succeeded in it. They tried to drown him, they never succeeded in it. Ultimately, he himself told them, he told the king, if you want to kill me, then this is the way. And by doing that, the king now made it known, subhanallah, and everybody knew about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they all brought faith in Allah azza wa jal. Yes, the Lord of this boy that he was trying to kill. And then when everybody brought faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he killed them all and he burned them down in a trench. During these times, always have Allah Azza wa Jal in your mind, in your heart. Whenever there is difficulty, don't let it distract you. Don't let it deviate you. Always stay on this path of faith. The miracles of the awliya, which we have seen in this parable, are certainly proven and based on facts. This is not the only miracle that has been documented in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many other miracles. The miracles of Sahaba ikram, there are so many, subhanAllah. Karamat awliya, that is a book written by Allama Yusuf bin Ismail Nabahani rahimahullah ta'ala. In two volumes, it is all about the karamat of awliya Allah that are proven from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the parables, the athar of the Sahaba, and through authentic sources, let alone every other awliya, the karamat of Sayyidina Ghausipak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi itself, they are innumerable. So many karamat, subhanallah. And then it is our aqidah, al-sunnah wal-jama'ah, that the karamat of awliya Allah, they are haqq. The miracles of awliya Allah, they are proven. They are based on facts, Quranic facts, prophetic ahadith that mention them. And this is one such hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the miracle of this child, this boy, this young man, who upon whose hand miracles were displayed. And every time somebody said, no, you gave the cure, it was his humbleness. And every time he said, I'm nobody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the cure, which is true, subhanallah. So awliya Allah, they are always humble. They don't take credit for anything. They associate every good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a serious religious need, then one can, in this case that we narrated this incident, there were three people and they all had a need. You know, at time of need, they could have deviated from the path. They could have uttered something else, but they never changed their statement. They were true in their claim of being true bondmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that this person, his name was Zura bin Hassan, and he was the king of an area called Humair. This king was Zura bin Hassan, and he was the king of an area called Humair. In Tafsir Baghwi, it is mentioned that he was the king of Najran and lived about 70 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. In other words, he lived in the era of Fitra. Fitra is the time period between the two prophets, when there was no prophet. Like, for example, the period between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about 570 years approximately, there was no prophet. So this entire period, time period, is called the days of ignorance, the time of Jahiliyyah, Yawm al-Fitra. And this was the time that was devoid of the blessings of Anbiya and the light of guidance. It is reported in Dalilul Falihin that the time of the boy, this boy, when he died and he was killed by this king, what was his name? His name was Abdullah bin Tamir, Qadi Abul Fazl bin Husa alayhi rahmah. He says that from this parable we come to realize that sometimes when one is giving good advice or spreading truth, at times good people have to face trial and calamity. Many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had to go through all of this, through torture, through, they were murdered and killed. Yes, and it also shows that they always displayed patience at these moments. The awliya Allah went through the same thing. They had trodden on the footsteps of the prophets. It also shows that no matter how much trial one has to face, no one should ever fear, and one should always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue making dua. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dua, he said the dua is the weapon of a believer. So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These awliya Allah, they are always walking into the footsteps of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Sayyidina Ghausipak rahmatullahi ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ نَبِيِّن قَدَمٌ وَلَكِنْ أَنَا عَلَىٰ قَدَمِ النَّبِيِّ بَدْرِ الْكَمَالِ. Yes, each wali, each saint, he has a step to follow. But I am following the footsteps of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the words of Sayyidina Ghausipak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So yes, many awliya Allah, they follow into the footsteps of many anbiya, and they have certain traits in them that resemble the different qualities of some of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the most superior among all the prophets, so is Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali among all the saints and the awliya ikram. The shair very famously says in Akhbarul Akhyar, Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali quotes that Ghawse Azam darmiyane awliya chu Muhammad darmiyane anbiya, that the status of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali among the awliya, among the saints, is like that of the status of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam amongst the prophets. Subhanallah. It shows that no matter how much trials that these awliya they face, this close bondment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't fear. And this is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran. These their attributes, one of their attributes that they don't fear, nor do they grieve. This is the message conveyed in the Holy Quran, documented. And they always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue making dua. Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, how many trials he had to face? He says, if the amount of burden and trials I had to face, if it is placed upon a mountain, it would shatter into pieces. Imam Yahya bin Sharaf al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, this hadith is clear proof of the miracles which emanate from the awliya. This is Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and from major events to minor occurrences, everything that happens in the universe does so by the permission and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without his decree, without his divine ordinance. Not even a grain of sand can move from its place. When our perfect creator, Rabb Azza wa Jal, the omnipotent Allah Almighty, is pleased with someone and showers his grace upon him, he grants him whatever favors he chooses and makes that person, subhanAllah, blessings for others, and others then take blessings from him. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives health, but he made Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam a channel for his cure and healing to reach to people, just as we see in the case of this boy. He was the person through whom the chosen bondman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through whom Allah azza wa jal granted people cure. Same is the case of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Just like Isa alayhi salam, this boy also was distributing the cure of Allah subhanahu from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to people. In the case of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, which is mentioned in the glorious Quran, he alayhi salam says, and I heal him who was born blind and the leper, and I give life to the dead with the permission of Allah. Yes, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam made it clear that although he cures the sick and revives the dead, these feats are not due to an intrinsic power in him, an innate ability in him, but it is power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the servants of Allah azza wa jal are a manifestation of the divine power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then seeking their help in difficulties, anxieties and troubles is perfectly logic and is perfectly permissible. Now, our belief is that according to Islamic creed, if a person seeks help from the noble prophets alayhim assalam and the great saints rahimahumullah, considering them able to benefit or harm independently without the permission of Allah azza wa jal, then this is certainly shirk and polytheism. In contrast to this, if a person believes that Allah Almighty is the true helper and creator of harm and benefit, but considers someone a means, meaning someone as a helper in the figurative sense, and seeks his help, this is completely permissible. This can never be polytheism or shirk. Now, in this verse of the Holy Quran, encouraging to seek help from the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal has stated, Allah is indeed his helper, and Jibreel and the virtuous believers. And after that, the angels are also his supporters. In this verse, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and the pious believers have been referred to as helpers. And the angels are described as supporters. From this, it is clear as daylight that the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are helpers. When they are helpers, seeking help from them is also permitted and it is jais. At another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to seek help from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, seek help from patience and salah. Commenting on this verse, the great theologian Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, he says that is patience a creator, that the command of seeking help has been mentioned regarding it? Is prayer a creator, that the command of seeking aid has been stated concerning it? In another verse, Allah Almighty states, help one another in righteousness and piety. If taking aid from other than Allah Almighty is absolutely impossible and impermissible, then what is the meaning of this divine command? If it is possible, then what grave peril is there in seeking help from one from whom help can be attained? Innumerable ahadith encourage us to seek help from other than Allah, such as worship in the morning, worship in the evening, worship in the last portion of the night, writing down knowledge, the pre-dawn meal, midday naps, and hiding one's needs in order to have them fulfilled. Those ahadith include a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that when your animal or camel flees in an uninhabited land where no one is visible, you can't see a person there, the land is uninhabited, say, O servants of Allah, help me, for indeed he will be assisted. Now, another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has angels apart from the recording angels, the kiram and katibin, who record whatever leaves fall to the ground. So if any of you is crippled on a journey, let him call out, help me, O servants of Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. It is mentioned in another hadith, seek needs from the people of mercy from my ummah. You will be given provision and you will attain your needs. Yet another hadith states, seek goodness and needs from those with beautiful countenance. Allah subhanallah. These are some of the points that we can derive in the light of this parable, where this boy, he used to cure people by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people would come to him, like this minister who came to him to seek well-being. He was blind. So he said, cure me. He said, I don't cure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures, which is the truth. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him an ability to cure people. People would come to him. And that wouldn't be inappropriate. And this is mentioned in the hadith. Subhanallah. Now, this hadith also teaches us to always remain and stand firm on the values of truth, on the values of haq. Never deviate from the truth. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yarakha Naimi, rahimahullah, he says that whoever becomes habitual of speaking the truth, Allah Azza wa Jal makes him pious. He will develop a habit of carrying out good deeds. By the blessings of speaking truth, he will remain pious and righteous until the moment he dies. He will refrain from all evil. And he who becomes truthful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal will have a safe end. He remains safe from all kinds of torments. and he attains all kinds of rewards. And the people of the world recognize him to be truthful and righteous. He has reverence and honor in the hearts of people. Subhanallah. And just one thing, when now we have come to the end of our today's episode and program, inshallah, I should depart saying this. And this is, subhanallah, the key takeaway from our today's discussion. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was known as As-Sadiq, the truthful. And we have been commanded to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Holy Quran. So inshallah azza wa jal, what that tells us, that let's follow into the footsteps of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to incorporate this amazing, beautiful value for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known. His name was synonymous to being truthful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and make us among those who always speak the truth. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyin ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Islamic parables, Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.